I hear the old familiar voices, the ones we love the most. It's Cliff and Kendall coming from coast to coast. Oh, they're chatting, philosophizing, laughing so damn loud. It's Christmas time and the show is starting. Listen and you'll be so proud. Welcome to this broadcast of a Cliff and Kendall Christmas Home Companion, coming to you live from Santa Claus, Indiana. Tonight's show is produced by Mr. Snodbottom and by Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast Productions. Tonight's episode is brought to you by Mrs. Potter Butter Butter Churns Fruitcake, because if you're not going to eat it, it should at least look pretty. And, of course, by Fiber One Bars. And now, here they are, acquaintances from the East and the West, but eternally sons of the South, Cliff and Kendall. Thank you for coming out to see us tonight. Oh, woo!
Hello, Santa Claus, Indiana.
Hello, everybody.
Have you ever been somewhere where you have felt more at home, where you have felt more like you are with like-minded, Christmas-obsessed people?
Cliff, only at a Weight Watchers meeting is the only time I've felt like I've been around like-minded people before.
Only when I've been in the drive-thru at the Dairy Queen have I felt more kinship with the human race than right now at this moment in Santa Claus, Indiana, with you live on stage.
You people are wonderful that you live in a place named Santa Claus, Indiana, that makes my entire year worth living.
Oh, Kendall, can you imagine? First of all, when we retire, we will look just like Santa Claus. And so
we're halfway there.
This is obviously the place that we were meant to come and retire.
Cliff and Kendall in the morning in Santa Claus, Indiana. Signing up.
Oh my goodness, Kendall! I don't want to alarm you right away, uh-uh, but I have a song. I have a song in my heart, and I know. I think I know what the people of Santa Claus, Indiana, need right this very minute.
All right. Well, Cliff, tell me.
Turn on this podcast. I need some eggnog before my spirit falls again. Fill up the buffet. I may be rushing things, but let's eat lunch again now.
For we need some Cliff and Kendall right this very minute. Holly's in the window, Fatso's at the spinning. Yes, we need some Cliff and Kendall right this very minute. It hasn't snowed a single flurry, but Snodbottom, dear, we're in a hurry, so. Pie's in the oven, put on the biggest pair of pants I've ever seen. Slice up the fruitcake, it's time we hung some tinsel in our podcasting booth.
For I've grown a little colder, grown a little sadder, grown a little older, grown a whole lot fatter, and I need a little Johnny to be a whole lot badder. I need some Cliff and Kendall now.
For we need a little music, need a little laughter, need a little singing, ringing through the rafters, and we need a little sassy, happy ever after. We need some Cliff and Kendall now. We need some Cliff and Kendall now.
Oh, Cliff, everybody needs a little Cliff and Kendall. And there's plenty of us to go around, Cliff.
Plenty. There's plenty. If there's anything, that if there is one unkillable natural resource, it is us.
We will never run out. Ever.
It is us. There's more us than all the fossil fuels on this big flat planet of ours.
Oh, Cliff, how has your holiday season been going so far? Have you been shopping up a storm? Have you got my Christmas gift yet? More importantly.
Yes and no.
But yes was for my gift or no?
No and yes. No. But yours, I'm sure, I'm waiting for a bolt of inspiration to come out of the blue. I'm waiting to get fat struck with
with
an idea for something for you for Christmas. Have you gotten my Christmas gift yet?
I know what I'm getting, but I haven't gotten it yet.
There was something. But I'm trying this thing in about Christmas because I've been so depressed that it's almost over. I'm trying to just celebrate every day.
Every day.
I'm doing something to remind myself that it is Christmas.
Cliff, what are we celebrating today? What are we celebrating today?
We're celebrating a live Christmas Home Companion 2010 in Santa Claus, Indiana.
Listen to our listeners out there. I'm celebrating each and every one of you.
I celebrate our listeners daily, nightly, afternoonly, and morningly.
Morningly. And mid-morningly, too.
And I only wear black when I do it. Kendall, I want to tell you...
Very slimming.
Really quickly. I had, a week or so ago, I had my last ever bubbleology class.
Let me savor the sound effect for a moment.
I wish, if our band right there, if our band could play taps gently in the night.
Hold on, the horn player's getting his horn.
Okay. Yes. It is over. It is dead. It was a mercy killing. but it was my last bubbleology class.
I wish somebody would mercy kill us.
Somebody will. Mr. Snodbottom will eventually pull the plug, or Fiber One will drop us like two big fat hot potatoes.
Oh, they would never drop us, Cliff. The revenue we bring in just for me and you alone.
I did eat three today. On the Real Sass Express on the way here. But in bubbleology, there was one fascinating fact that I heard out of all semester. And it had to do with us. It had to do with us because it had to do with baldness.
I thought you were going to say morbid obesity.
Close. The second,
you said baldness, and I automatically went to the fat sound because I'm just so used to you saying fat.
Because we are so fat, but we're also bald because Jesus believes in adding insult to injury. And so,
Jesus is hilarious. He's got a sense of humor.
When I die, I expect to find him laughing. Anyway,
yes, sorry.
Bubbleology, baldness.
People are loving this banter.
Somebody asked our teacher. She said, well, what is it the deal with hormones and baldness? Why do men like Cliff, and she pointed at me, go bald?
Bitch.
What
a bitch that teacher was.
And I thought, well, she's going to say because they are assholes or they're wusses.
Well, they are.
Or they did something bad in a previous life, like you and I were Bonnie and Clyde in our previous life. That's why we're being punished in this one.
Bonnie and Fat.
It's because we have extra...
Ooh, hear that applause.
You're belching in the faces of Santa Claus, Indiana, and they love it.
They love it.
But anyway, bald men have extra testosterone. Did you know this?
Do they really? Cliff, we must be the most testosterone-filled men in the planet.
We are so fucking virile that our bodies cannot hold it, and the testosterone is pushing our hair out of the top of our head, down into our shower
Cliff,
drains.
I do love football.
You do love football, and I do love naked men in locker rooms.
That's so manly.
It is manly.
All the testosterone.
Oh, there's a lot of test something in there. Swinging around, Kendall, and that's no joke.
Oh, Cliff, and listen to those audience members out in the audience. They are so excited about these jokes, Cliff. Hey, audience! It's time for the bad jokes!
Oh, Kendall, Santa Claus, Indiana. We're going to ho-ho-ho.
But Santa Claus is coming to town, and he has got some jokes in his bag. Let me pull some out here. I'm going to start us off. I'm so excited for my jokes this week. I'm going to start us out, Cliff.
All right.
Now, Cliff, one particular Christmas season a long time ago.
Oh, let me take that in for a minute. Christmas season of long ago. I love it.
Santa was getting ready for his annual trip, but there were problems everywhere. four of his elves got sick. And the trainee elves did not produce the toys as fast as the regular ones, so Santa was beginning to feel the pressure of being behind schedule. Then, Cliff, Mrs. Claus, she told Santa that her mom was coming to visit, and Santa was stressed even more. What a bitch. She knew that he was under stress. So then, Cliff, when he began to load the sleigh, one of the boards cracked, and the toy bag fell to the ground and scattered the toys everywhere, and that's a lot of toys to scatter. So Santa, very frustrated, went to the house for a cup of apple cider and a shot of rum, Cliff. That's what I do when I'm stressed. And when he went to harness the reindeer, he found that three of them were about to give birth, and two had jumped the fence and were out heaven knows where. More stress. So then he went to the cupboard. He discovered that the elves had hidden the liquor, and there was nothing to drink. Bitch elves.
Bitches.
And so in his frustration, he accidentally dropped the cider pot, broke it into hundreds of little pieces onto the kitchen floor, and he went to get the broom and found the mice had eaten the straw into the broom, Cliff. The story gets worse and worse. So then the doorbell rang, and the irritable Santa trudged to the door. He opened the door, and there was a little angel, Cliff, with a great Christmas tree. And the angel said very cheerfully and quite annoyingly, "Merry Christmas, Santa. Isn't it a lovely day? I have a beautiful tree for you. Where would you like me to stick it?" And Cliff, that is where the tradition of the angel on the top of the tree began. Isn't that a beautiful story?
Oh, Kendall, that was a no good, very bad, horrible Christmas Eve.
I knew you'd love that story.
Kendall, I did love that story, and that was so on topic, so Christmassy, there's no way to top
there's
it,
no
so
way
I'm
to
not
top
gonna
it.
Try.
No way, but try.
I'm not even gonna try. But Kendall, one Christmas.
Oh, one Christmas, Cliff.
One Christmas Eve long ago, there was this woman who had two female parrots.
Bitch.
And they were always yelling, because these parrots, they used to live in a whorehouse. They were the pets of the head whore, but that's beside the point. These two female parrots, they were always yelling, "We're prostitutes! Want to have a little fun?"
Oh, Merry Christmas, prostitutes.
One day, Kendall, prostitutes love Christmas.
Everybody does.
Everybody does. And everybody, even the prostitutes, the hookers in Santa Claus, Indiana, let me hear you hookers! One day, Kendall, this woman who owned these two female parrots that were always shouting about prostitutes was talking, to her preacher about this.
Oh, God save.
Predicament she was in. And he said he had two male parrots, and all they did was read the Bible, because they read. These parrots were super smart. And he thought perhaps they would be a good influence on those two girl slut parrots. So they put the four parrots together. So the females started yelling at the male parrots, "We're prostitutes. Want to have a little fun?" And one of the male parrots said to the other, "Put the Bibles away. We've made it to heaven." We have made it to heaven.
Those bitch slut parrots, Cliff.
Ow!
Even parrots need a good time every now and then.
Even parrots. God bless all the little parrots.
Merry Christmas, parrots.
Sleep well, little parrots, wherever you are.
Cliff, now this is a cheese and crackers wonderful story. Not like we're used to hearing. I thought I'd have a nice story about our friend, Little Johnny, Cliff.
Little Johnny, is there a bulldog eating mayonnaise in this joke?
No.
There any decapitated corpses?
No, Cliff.
No.
Finally, somebody seems to have taught him something. So, Cliff, a little boy returned from Sunday school with a new perspective on the Christmas story. That was our friend Little Johnny. He had learned all about the wise men from the East who brought gifts to baby Jesus, Cliff. And he was so excited he could hardly wait to tell his parents. As soon as he arrived home, he immediately said, "I learned all about the very first Christmas in Sunday school today. There wasn't a Santa Claus way back then, so these three skinny guys on camels had to deliver all the toys. And Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer with his nose so bright, wasn't there yet, so they had to hang this very big spotlight in the sky to find their way around." Isn't that beautiful, Cliff? Doesn't that make your heart warm that little Johnny had such a great story to tell on Christmas?
It did. Santa Claus, Indiana, you heard it here first. Somebody has started to teach little Johnny the proper way.
I don't know how long it'll last. I can't say for
sure. I think it might just be a phase.
Yes.
Kendall, speaking of church.
Oh, hallelujah.
Some people, one person out of 20, considers Christmas a holy season.
Yes.
And a husband and a wife, they went to a small service at a local church one Christmas Eve morning. And the man was very moved by the preacher's sermon, so he stopped to shake the preacher's hand. And he said, "Reverend, that was the best damn sermon I ever did here." And the Reverend replied, "Oh, why, thank you, sir, but please, I'd appreciate it if you didn't use profanity in the Lord's house." Ooh. And the guy, he says, "Oh, I'm sorry, Reverend, but I can't help myself. It was such a damn good sermon." And the Reverend replied, "Sir, please, I cannot have you behaving this way in a holy, holy church."
Oh, I hope that preacher never listens to our show.
Oh, I hope not.
Yeah.
He'd hear a lot of that.
On cue.
Okay. Okay, Reverend. But I just wanted you to know that I thought it was so damn good that I put $5,000 in the collection plate.
Whoa.
And Kendall, the Reverend's eyes opened wide as he remarked, "Well, no shit."
What a bitch that preacher was. Hypocritical.
What a bitch.
Hypocritical.
Preacher.
Cliff, when you said he moved that guy in the audience, I thought he had a bowel movement. All right, Cliff.
No doubt there were bottom belches in church that day.
I'm sure. Cliff, are you ready for this? Are you ready?
Bump, 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 yeah.
I want you to get ready. Cliff, three men die in a car accident on Christmas Eve.
Oh, no.
They all find themselves, Cliff, where? At the pearly gates, about to enter heaven.
Lucky them.
On entering, they must present something Christmassy to St. Peter, as he says. Because it's Christmas Eve. So the first man...
I hope we die on Christmas Eve.
I do too.
We could do that.
We could do that. The first man searches his pocket and he finds some mistletoe. So they allow him in, Cliff.
Oh.
The second man, he presents a cracker. And they even let him in, Cliff.
Probably a Christmas cracker from England.
Maybe. But they let him in anyway. So the third man...
Or a saltine.
The third man, he pulls out a pair of panties, Cliff.
Oh.
And confused at this last gesture, St. Peter says, "How do these represent Christmas?" And the third man, he says, "Oh, these are carols."
These are carols. Kendall, that is hilarious.
Hilarious.
And you're going to have to... Our writers, I think they were having a little too much eggnog. We did tell that one last year, but you know, it's so good.
Cliff.
It's so good.
A joke about Christmas and pearly gates is bound to be told again.
It is like It's a Wonderful Life. I want to hear it every Christmas.
Speaking of Christmas, Cliff, what did the whore say to her friend on Christmas Eve?
I have no idea.
She says, "I hope Santa brings me that mistletoe belt I asked for."
Oh, Lord.
Shit. Bitch, bitch, bitch.
Shit. Kendall, speaking of church and the holy Advent season.
Oh, take that hope. Take it.
A married man goes to a confessional on Christmas Day in the morning, and he says to the priest, "Father, I had an affair with a woman, almost." "What do you mean, almost?" questions the priest. "Well, we got undressed and rubbed together, but then I stopped." "Rubbing together is the same as putting it in," explains the priest. "You're not to go near that woman again. Now say 5 Hail Marys and put $50 in the poor box." And the man leaves the confessional, says his prayers, then walks over to the poor box. He pauses for a moment and then decides to leave. And the priest quickly runs over to the man and exclaims, "I saw that. You didn't put any money in the poor box." "Well, Father, I rubbed up against it, and like you said, that's the same as putting it in."
Ooh.
Oh.
Sluts. 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 Cliff, why is Santa Claus always so happy?
Because he's eating all the time, apparently.
No, well, that. And he knows where all the naughty girls live.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
shit. Oh, Kendall, speaking of, this is your Christmas bonus joke. This is the joke that keeps on giving all year through.
Oh, I'm so happy. I'm so happy.
Kendall, a young boy is doing poorly. This is not Little Johnny. This is Little Johnny's cousin, Little Jeremy. And he is doing poorly in math at public school.
Yeah.
He does a lot of that.
Oh, God, that scared the shit out of me. Right in my face.
Oh, Santa Claus, Indiana, weren't the ticket prices, they were reasonable for this good of a show, right? All right. So a little boy doing bad math at public school, and his mama decides to send him to private Catholic school to rectify this situation. And lo and behold, after a semester in the new private Catholic school, the boy's grades were straight A's, even in math, the second most horrible subject after Bibliology. And Kendall, his mother was surprised, and she asked him how he liked his new school. "Oh, it's all right, I guess," little Jeremy replies. "They must be teaching you some new tricks," Mama says. "Well, not really." And Mama says, well, then what do you think is making the difference in your grades? And he says, well, as soon as I saw that guy nailed to the plus sign, I knew they meant business.
Will anybody teach little Jeremy the proper ways?
Little Jeremy, he's the cousin that's running in his blood. Kendall, what did the ghost say to Santa Claus?
Oh, I don't know. Get the hell out of here, fat man.
I'll have a boo Christmas without you. Kendall, how does Santa in Santa Claus, Indiana, take pictures?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, with his North Polaroid.
Oh.
And speaking of us, Kendall, speaking of you and me.
Batman?
What did the bald man say when he got a comb for Christmas?
Oh, Cliff, I don't know.
Well, he said, thanks, I'll never part with it.
Oh, I thought he said, fuck you for bringing me a comb.
Fuck you, where is my Olive Garden gift card?
But I gotta take a break and go get me some red sticks.
I have to take a break. I'm gonna have one endless pasta bowl while we're on break, and that's it.
All right, everybody, set still for a moment. We'll be right back after this.
We'll be right back!
More sass right after this.
Why give gifts that are just enjoyed and then tossed aside? Instead, give a gift that keeps on giving the whole year through. Enroll your loved one or friend into the Cliff and Kendall Jelly of the Month Club. No other jelly club gives you sass-o-frass jelly or crude berry jam. Remember to put Cliff and Kendall Brand Jelly of the Month Club on your shopping list this year. Cliff and Kendall Brand Jelly of the Month Club is available at cliffandkendall.blogs.com or wherever fine jelly clubs are sold.
Make some room, Cliff and Kendall are back. No, seriously, they're morbidly obese. You're going to have to scoot over.
You're a fat one, Mr. Cliff. You really are obese. You're as hefty as a hippo. You're as light as bacon grease, Mr. Cliff. You're as huge as a house, and your hunger won't cease.
You're a lard ass, Mr. Kendall. Obesity's taking its toll. Your brain is full of waffles. Your gut's a bottomless hole, Mr. Kendall. Even if I tried, I couldn't touch you with a 39 and a half foot pole.
You're a huge one, Mr. Cliff. You have busted many a scale. You have all the tender sweetness of a starving killer whale, Mr. Cliff. Given the choice between the two of you, I take the starving killer whale.
Mm-hmm. All right. You're a large one, Mr. Kendall. You're a fatty, whitey cow. Your stomach's full of sticky sweets, and I can hear it growling now, Mr. Kendall. The three words that best describe you are as follows, and I quote an unknown author. Large, huge, fat.
You're a fat one, Mr. Cliff. You're the king of pigging out. Your life's a squealing, stinky hog with food coming out his snout, Mr. Cliff. Your soul is an appalling lard heap overflowing with the most disgusting example of morbid obesity imaginable, wrapped up in globules of fat.
Globules of fat? Me? Me, globules of fat? Well, maybe. But you? You nauseate me, Mr. Kendall. With a super obese nos. You're the world's largest jockey, and you broke the back of your horse, Mr. Kendall. You are a three-decker cake batter and cookie dough sandwich with Weight Watchers sauce.
Oh, that was so lovely, Cleo.
Oh, Kendall, you know, when God gave me perfect pitch, he said, here's your gift, use it wisely. And
he
that's
said,
what
I
tried
you,
to do.
He said, I gave you perfect pitch, and I had to take away skinny from you. So I hope you enjoy the perfect pitch.
I had to take away any appearance of vanity in your appearance.
Because people can only hear you, not see you.
Kendall, when you have a voice like mine that shatters glass, that it, you know,
oh,
I'm just sharing my
glass,
gift
right.
with the world. I'm just sharing, I'm not hiding my light under a bushel, mostly because I'm too fat to hide behind a bushel.
You can't, but you're too fat to hide anything under anything.
Kendall, I'm trying to hide my enormous girth under this Christmas festive moo-moo that we're both wearing.
Oh, Cliff, I have a few things that our audience members have passed up to us before the show started that they want me and you to say on the air.
Okay.
I've been given this piece of paper here.
Okay.
Let's see. I have, they wanted me to wish a happy birthday to Gertrude Robinson. Happy birthday, Gertrude. Happy birthday.
I wonder how old Gertrude is. Six? You think she's six?
I believe Gertrude is the name of someone who is 6 years old, Cliff.
And her grandmother Tiffany.
They didn't give me an age on Gertrude.
They did. Well, they did on mine. They wanted me to wish happy birthday to Cameron Bruce. He is 71 today.
Oh,
today,
happy birthday, Cameron.
It is his 71st birthday from Santa Claus, Indiana, and he has come to spend it with us. Isn't that a beautiful thing?
Cliff, everybody spends their 71st birthday with us, of course. you can listen to both of our birthday episodes this year if you want to join in on the celebration.
I bet that he did that on the way here.
I have a happy anniversary. Happy 15th anniversary to Chris and Diane English. Happy anniversary.
Chris and Diane English. Kendall, 15 years. In this day and age, that's like 15 dog years that they've been together.
Oh, Cliff, I am at almost 6 next year, and I don't know how I'm going to get to 15 before I kill somebody.
Kendall, I'm at almost 30 with myself, and I'm about to get a divorce. I've had it up to here with me. I want out. And the last thing that I have here, this is her name is Phylum Nidaria, and she just got out of surgery. She had both hips replaced. She doesn't say with what, but she came to hear us do this show live. She's in somewhere in a full body cast back there in the cheap seats, and we want to say, Phylum, get well soon.
Oh, get well soon. And Cliff, I have one more here I'm going to read for us.
All right.
We have two audience members. They just had a new baby boy, Cliff.
Oh, and did they name it Cliff Kendall?
They named it Obese One, is what they named it. And that's
so
Cynthia.
Yes, so they did name it after us, is what I'm saying.
They did. That couple is Cynthia and Richard Kershaw.
Oh, Cynthia and Richard. Cindy and Dick. Don't we love you both?
Cindy and Dick.
Kendall,
congratulations.
Congratulations. Whenever anybody has a baby and names it after us, I think that's something that everybody should know.
Oh, Cliff, it is, and so are these things.
Uh-oh.
It's time for the game show that makes you feel dumb. Things you should know about Christmas.
Uh-oh.
And now here's your holly jolly obese host, Cliffin Kendall. I like that, Cliff.
We are holly.
Oh,
we are
I like
jolly.
That. Holly jolly obese. Whatever writer
holly.
Came up with that, it should
we're
be
jolly,
commended.
Yep. Commended. You're the writer of the month this month. Whoever you are. I don't know their names. But
you never bothered to learn them.
Kendall, there's just so many. There's like 4 of them. I can't remember all those names.
All right, Cliff, start us out with something that I should know.
I'm still posting Craigslist ads for new assistants. Kendall, what year What year did Hallmark, where I buy all my ornaments, What year did Hallmark introduce its first Christmas cards to the world?
Oh, Christmas cards. Was that 1924?
Oh, idiot! You are so far off the mark, you boob! It was 1915.
That wasn't that far. I thought I would be like a couple years off. All right, that was my first Christmas card that I ever got. Was from 1915 from Mrs.
It was 1915. Yeah, I was there. I remember getting that in the mail.
Cliff, this is an easier one to start us off with. What is the name of Scrooge's business partner who has been dead these 7 years?
We're Marley and Marley.
What was the first name?
Jacob.
Okay, I'll give it to you.
What was the other Marley's name in the Muppet Christmas Carol?
Jacob and George. Hurley.
I don't know. Maybe it's Shemp, I think. What is the main course of the Christmas dinner in The Grinch Who Stole Christmas?
Oh, rare roast beast, Cliff?
Oh, he carved that roast beast.
The rare roast beast, Cliff.
It was rare. It was instead of well done. If I'd had it when I ate meat, I would have preferred it well done. They just, as they say, when they order their steaks rare, just walk it through a warm room because they want it bloody.
Well, Cliff, the Grinch is like their roast beef rare.
What a Grinch.
All right, Cliff, in which author's...
That's what we should have said after all the jokes instead of what a bitch. Like, number one, we should have said, what a Grinch.
Oh, next year, Cliff. Next year.
Write that down. Somebody take... I hope y'all are taking notes.
I hope there are writers in the audience listening to this show. Cliff, in which author's novel is it always winter but never Christmas?
Must be Stephen King. That sounds like a nightmare from hell.
No, idiot. Cliff, that is C.S. Lewis.
Oh. No thanks, Jesus Lion.
No thanks, C.S.
What was the first state to recognize Christmas as an official holiday?
Oh, Cliff, I don't know, but I want to live in that state.
No, you do not. But this is the one good thing that I've heard about this state ever. That was Alabama.
Oh, Alabama. Well, at least they got something going for them.
Well, you know what else I heard about Alabama? They've discovered a new use for sheep.
Oh, wool, Cliff.
Wool.
You said that joke last week.
They've been f***ing them all these years.
Cliff, finally, Cliff, on my end here, finally. What are the broadly accepted names of the three wise men?
Balthazar, ooh, Melchior, and Gaspar.
How the hell did you know that?
I really just knew it. I did not even come across that in my hours of research. I really didn't. I just know that.
I was going to ask, this is not a question of things you should know, but did you know that in the scripture it doesn't even mention that there are three wise men? It says
It does mention that, but it does not mention the three wise men.
Isn't that crazy? It says there's gold, the mirth and the other one. But
mirth?
It doesn't
that's
say
the, that's the gift that we bring, baby Jesus, mirth.
We bring mirth and fatness.
We bring the mirth and we put it on the hearth. On the island of misfit toys, here on the island of obese podcasters. That's for next year.
Yes.
What does the misfit cowboy toy, what does he ride on for transportation?
Oh, my God, Cliff. I am like a child, and every year I watch that. It's like a new beginning, and I forget everything that happened last year, so I don't know.
He rides an ostrich, but I love Rudolph. I love him. I have ornaments of all the misfit toys. I really do. Rudolph is so sad. It's like the sad music is what it is.
I
prefer Santa Claus is Coming to Town or The Year Without a Santa Claus because they're pretty happy the whole way through. But Rudolph is so depressing and I want to die. It's so sad. But I watch it because I love it. But I always have to kind of take a step back and say, okay, in 30 minutes, everything's going to be okay.
don't cry just yet.
Don't cry. That's all we got. And everybody should know.
That's all the time we have today. More things you should know. Join us next year for more things you should know about Christmas.
Ho, 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 ho.
Ho, ho, ho. That's what I always call you, Cliff.
Well, you are always accurate. I wanted to ask you, when you were little, we've talked 5,000 years in
a row.
Big
bird easel, Cliff. Big bird easel.
I know that's your most memorable Christmas memory. And your favorite Christmas memory was one time you were at home and all your family was next door and you were watching Martha Stewart. And
that's
I know that's correct, Cliff.
True. That's correct. What can you possibly ask me about Christmas that I haven't answered?
That has not been adequately covered on our previous 25 Christmas episodes. Did you ever... Okay, your gifts were, did your mom, would she wrap them under the tree and like the ones that were from her, would she like leave them under the tree like from the beginning of the season, or did she put them all out like on Christmas Eve? What did she do? Like the wrapped ones that were from her?
From her? They're always wrapped. And funny story. Look at this new story that I've never told on the show that you just opened
up. I'm trying to look for new stories here.
Cliff, my mother always had to hide what I was getting for Christmas because as a child, unlike now, which I want to be surprised. Ooh, I want to be surprised. I don't want to know what
that's
it is.
Fresh.
As a child, I yearned to know what was in the boxes.
Uh-huh.
And she would find boxes that were oddly shaped, that were huge, and she would put something tiny in it, and she would put a can of soup in it and a brick. Mm-hmm. And so when I shook it, it would slosh around because I was an expert as a child, an investigative expert at finding what was in the package. I swear to God, she would get me something so random, and I would say, oh, that's that. And she would be astonished that I guessed it. So she had to wrap everything meticulously. And I even tried as a child to untape the sides and open it up and see what it was. So she had to be very tricky in hiding my gifts from me. Isn't that terrible?
I just wonder because...
I was like little Johnny.
Oh, I was little Johnny too, and I was, yeah.
I was a little fatso.
We were jolly little Johnnies, that's for sure.
We were big Johnnies.
But, two big Johnnies from Nashville. But no, I did, because I did too, and I would, even as a teenager, I would like, wouldn't wait till my parents were out of the house, and I would very carefully... pull the tape off and unwrap the gifts so I would know what it was. It's so much more fun to not know. But
it was fun trying to guess when you were a kid.
Oh, it was. And you feel like you are robbing a bank, don't you?
Oh,
you
do. You do.
Because
it was so much fun when the first present would come out of the season. And you're like, ooh, what is that? You know, that's back when you got more than one present from somebody. You know, when you got many presents from your parents. Now everybody gets one present from everybody.
Now everybody gets a Nintendo something or another that I don't even know what it is. The kids these days, I don't know what they're saying and I don't care. Mm-hmm. But what I want to know what our elders are singing. Can we have our two favorite elderly people come out on this show and sing
us
a song?
It's a special surprise for everybody in Santa Claus, Indiana. They didn't know they were coming. It's
Santa
Mrs. Potter Butter Butter Churn and Mr. Snodbottom. Hello, Jesus, hello. Oh, wonderful to see you all here in Santa Claus, Indiana. I just love Santa Claus, Mrs. Snodbottom, don't you?
Oh, I love Santa Claus. Of course, when I was a child, we often referred to him as Saint Nicholas, which you don't hear as much anymore, but I think it's an attractive term for that jolly man who lives in the North Pole.
Dear, when I was a child, the Saint Nicholas was there. He was actually there. We saw him, the actual Saint Nicholas, before there was a Santa Claus.
Oh my goodness.
But I digress.
I want to hear y'all sing a beautiful Christmas carol. Would you favor us with a Christmas flavor?
Oh, dear, of course, of course.
My pleasure.
Oh, well, when we sing this wonderful song about a wonderful time of year, band, please hit it.
It's a marshmallow world in the winter when the snowflakes cover the ground.
It's a time to play. It's a whipped cream day.
Ooh.
I wait for it the whole year round.
Oh, yes. Those are marshmallow clouds being friendly in the arms of the evergreen tree.
And the sun is red, like a pumpkin head.
Oh.
It's shining so your nose won't freeze.
Oh, it's cold. See, the world is a snowball. See how it grows. That's how it goes whenever it snows.
The world is your snowball, just for a song. Get out and roll it along.
It's a yummy, yummy world made for sweethearts. I'm on a walk with my favorite girl.
Dear, it's a sugar date. What if spring is late? In winter, it's a marshmallow world.
You see, the world is just snowball. See how it grows. That's how it goes whenever it snows.
Yes, world, it's your snowball, just for a song.
Get out and roll it along. Oh, it's a yummy, yummy world made for sweethearts. Take a walk with your favorite girl.
It's a sugar date. What if spring is late?
Who cares? In winter, it's a marshmallow world. In winter, it's a marshmallow world. In winter, it's a marshmallow world.
Mr. Snotbottom,
oh,
what a wonderful song.
Yeah.
Thank you, dear. Thank you so much. Merry Christmas to you all.
Good night.
Merry Christmas, dear. Good day.
Good night. Good night.
Oh, that is wonderful. That is wonderful.
Oh.
Thank you so much for singing a song for us on this Christmas episode in Santa Claus, Indiana.
I think that just encapsulated my Christmas season for me right there. That was it.
Dears, I am so pooped from singing that song. I'm going to go lie down backstage.
Yes, come on, dear. Merry Christmas,
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas, Toodaloo, Indiana.
Dear.
Merry
Toodaloo.
Christmas.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. I'd love having them here every year that we have a Christmas Home Companion, Cliff. It wouldn't be the same without them.
I don't want to go anywhere without him, in all honesty.
I don't either. The real Sass Express is not the same without Mrs. Potter Butter Butter Churn and Mr. Snowbottom.
It's not. It's not the same.
They helped us, Cliff. They helped us with singing
they
that song.
Us.
And it's time for us to pay it forward, Cliff, and help some other people in our audience, Cliff.
Oh, Kim,
you've
this is my
got questions. We've yep. got answers. Ask
Cliff and Kim.
Oh, Cliff. We have some letters from our audience members out there in the audience that they wrote to us and sent forward to us, like they're sending in the tithes to the church, and we're going to read here, and we're going to help some people. Cliff, why don't you start out?
All right, Kendall, let me see. Where is this thing?
Cliff, you've had it for 5 minutes. You can't keep it together.
I can't. I was so moved. By that song that they sang, I was wiping tears with every available paper.
Pull it together, Cliff. We got to help some people.
I got to help some people. It's my favorite part of the job, and it's really what the season is all about, everybody. So if you could just start a podcast and help somebody, it'd be great. This letter goes like this. Dear Cliff and Kendall, I love your show and wanted to wish everyone a Merry Christmas, especially Mr. Snodbottom, as he sounds so sexy when he appears on the show. Oh, did you hear that, Kenna? Anyway, 2 days ago, 2 days before I came to see this live episode that you guys are doing, 2 days ago, my boss let me out of work early. I tried calling my boyfriend on the phone, but he didn't answer. And when I got home and opened the door to our apartment, I found him standing in front of our full-length mirror in my panties.
Oh, my.
Oh, he slammed the door shut and locked it before I registered what I saw.
Yeah.
Cliff and Kendall, I was surprised.
Did you register that?
Sure. I was was surprised, sure, but I was more surprised that when he opened the door back up, fully dressed in his own clothes, he acted as though it never happened, like I'm an idiot. We've always had an open and fun relationship, both sexually and emotionally, so I was kind of thrown for a Christmas loop by this secretive behavior. I've always shown willingness and interest in experimentation in the bedroom. I can't understand why he'd keep this from me. Should I say something to him, or better yet, do something to show that I'm not turned off? Or do I continue to follow his lead and say nothing at all? Yours truly, sharing panties, not fantasies, in Santa Claus, Indiana. Oh, P.S., she says, I love your new segment, F You, and can't wait for more sex tips.
Well, next time we'll have to talk about fetishes and fantasies. But,
we'll have to go deep about those next time.
So, Cliff, first of all, her husband or boyfriend?
Boyfriend.
Oh, her boyfriend.
But her live-in boyfriend, so it's like her husband.
He could have just been practicing for an upcoming part in Rocky Horror Picture Show.
He could have been.
But, I don't know. I think that she should talk to him about it because, when I put on Susan's underwear, Cliff. Now, I think she should talk
to... First of all, she gets mad because you stretch them all out. She can't wear them anymore.
I can never wear these again, Kendall. They're too big. I think that she should talk to him about it because if she's not turned off by it, then there's no reason that he should be very secretive about it. If it's something that she's into, I why not enjoy it together? I don't think it makes him any less of a person, for wanting to experiment around with that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, I think that she should just talk to him because the only reason to not do it is if, she would get mad like Susan does at you when you shoot the elastic in her pantyhose 100 times.
She could set aside special underwear for him. Or they could go shopping together for underwear. But I don't know. I don't know how that works.
Sharing fantasies. I hope that you brought your boyfriend here with you tonight. I hope that this cleared up some misconceptions and y'all go home and wear whatever you want and have a good old FU time.
Cliff, I will share my underwear, but stay away the hell from my pie. All
stay right, away the hell from my pie.
Away the hell, that's my new saying. All right, Cliff, I got another letter right here. What are you laughing at now?
Stay away the hell from my pie.
Okay, stay the hell away from my pie.
No, I prefer stay away the hell now. Read me this letter.
I feel like
help
for the next
people.
5 years, you're going to be saying that. All right, dear Cliff and Kendall, before we know it, Christmas will be upon us, and my oldest child will again be asking me if there really is a Santa Claus.
Yes, you bitch.
Hold on, Cliff, I'm not through with the story. With all the traumatic events happening in our world today, I do not want to take anything away from him, and I know both of you truly believe in Santa Claus, as expressed when you sang, I believe in Santa Claus. What do I tell
my... This is a long-term fan.
It is. Well, most people are, Cliff. What do I tell my child when he starts asking questions about Santa Claus? Cliff, take a crack at that shit, and then I have something that I'm going to say.
Well, first of all, you need to be honest and say that there is a Santa Claus, especially here in Santa Claus, Indiana, where we obviously know that there is a Santa Claus.
Right on topic.
Mm-hmm. Then you might want to think, to be realistic and honest, you want to be, see how old this kid is, and then you can tell him about, how real Santa Claus really is.
Well,
right?
Here's what I have to say about it, Cliff. I'm going to read a little statement I've prepared for this.
Stay away the hell from his innocence.
Stay away the hell. Dear editor, I am 8 years old. Some of my little friends say there is no Santa Claus. Papa says if you see it in the sun, it's so. Please tell me the truth. Is there a Santa Claus? Virginia O'Hanlon. The editor wrote to this little girl, Cliff. Dear Virginia, your little friends are wrong. They have been affected by the skepticism of a skeptical age. They do not believe except what they see. They think that nothing can be which is not comprehensible by their little minds. All minds, Virginia, whether they be men's or children, are little. In this great universe of ours, men are mere insects, an ant in his intellect, as compared with the boundless world about him, as measured by the intelligence capable of grasping the whole of truth and knowledge. Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus, Cliff. That's what I have to say to that mom here in the audience. That's what she can tell her child.
love it, and I think that that is true.
Didn't that make you cry a little bit? It made me cry when I thought that a moment ago.
It does make me cry whenever I hear that. And truer truth has never been spoke to you,
no,
Kendall.
No, Cliff. And I'm so glad that we could help people today.
On the day of all days, Kendall, it is a beautiful thing.
On the day of our Jesus' birth, Cliff.
Oh, Jesus. Happy birthday, Jesus. I'm going to do this show just for you.
Just for you.
Kendall, now, we're winding down our show, but don't everybody get up and leave at once. We're winding
hey,
down our
you,
show.
You, sit back down. Sit back down. We're not finished.
You will hold your urine until the show is over. That's why our interns are standing at the door blocking the exits.
Luckily, we have big, huge interns.
We are our interns like some bars hire bouncers. But we have a special message all the way from another continent, from the country of Japan, from our First Lady of Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast. And Kendall, I would like to play that for our captive audience here in Santa Barbara.
Let's play it now. Don't go anywhere listening. Let me play it.
Cliff and Kendall, it's Rayanne, your long-lost First Lady. I'm hanging out here in Japan. The President Obama is here, I'm told. I don't watch the news because I can't understand what they're saying. So if I saw Obama, I would start to feel nervous that maybe he was here to vomit on someone, because I think that's what American presidents do when they come to Japan. So anyway, the First Lady of Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast and the President of the United States are here in Japan, and I, for one, am sending you a message, and it goes a little something like this. Somewhere out there, beneath the pale moonlight, someone's thinking of me and loving me tonight. This is you, Cliff.
Somewhere out there, someone's saying a prayer that we'll find one another in that big somewhere out there. And even though I know how very far apart we are, it helps to think we might be wishing on the same bright star. And when the night wind starts to sing a lonesome lullaby, it helps to think we're sleeping underneath the same big sky.
Right, everybody. Somewhere out there, if love can see us through, here.
You know it, sister.
Right.
And even though I know how very far apart we are,
all right,
it helps to think we might be wishing on the same bright star.
Okay, and when the night winds start to sing a lonesome lullaby, it helps to think we're sleeping underneath the same big sky. Look here, everyone.
Somewhere out there, if love can see us through, then we'll be together somewhere out there, out where dreams come true.
I miss you.
I love you.
And I love listening to your show and feeling like we're connected, that we are just wishing on the same bright star.
We are.
And I love it when you mention me on the show, and I hope I can come back and host a show again. I love you, listeners. I love you, Kendall. I love you, Cliff. Let's make some babies.
I love you.
Bye.
We will.
Oh, Cliff, I love you. I just love her so much. Everything she says is like gold to my soul.
It is. It really is. Like, knowing her is... I don't know. It's always like knowing a celebrity. Of course, now she will be a celebrity now that she's the first lady of the show.
She's a celebrity already. She's been on the show so much.
But it's always been like that because she's just one of the most special people that I've ever known. Like that belch was one of the most special belches.
And she probably just threw up from hearing
us. She probably just blorched a little bit in her mouth. And then she blorched again thinking about blorch. And then it was a chain reaction of blorching is what's going on, Kendall. And that's sad.
Oh, Cliff.
It's sad to blorch on Christmas. Nobody ought to be blorching all alone on Christmas. Oh, but Kendall, do you hear? It's sleigh bells. Sleigh bells, that means one thing, Santa Claus, Indiana. That means it's time for a finale. Oh, my God. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town.
He's making a list. He's checking it twice. Gonna find out who's naughty or nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake.
He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good, for goodness sake.
You better be good, for goodness sake.
You better watch out. You better not cry, you better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Oh, thank you, Santa Claus, Indiana, for coming back out to see us. And thank you for all of you listeners at home for listening to our show. Cliff, do you have a quote?
Kendall, I got 26 quotes, but it is Christmas, so I'm going to whittle it down to two for you.
Oh, give me two.
Christmas, in its final essence, is for grown people who have forgotten what children know. Christmas is for whoever is old enough to have denied the unquenchable spirit of man. That was from our cousin, Margaret Cousins.
Oh, that was beautiful, Cliff. Now, mine's an oldie but a goodie, but still a goodie. Remember, if Christmas isn't found in your heart, you won't find it under a tree. And that was from our carpenter, Charlotte Carpenter.
Oh, Kendall, what is Christmas? It is tenderness for the past, courage for the present, and hope for the future. It is a fervent wish that every cup may overflow with blessings rich and eternal, and that every path may lead to peace. That was said by Agnes M. Paro. And I want to wish you a Merry Christmas, Kendall, and a Merry Christmas to Santa Claus, Indiana.
Oh, thank you. And if our listeners want to check us out, go to cliffandkendall.com or cliffandkendall.blogspot.com where they can find links to all of our other sites. Now, I want everybody to sing with us as we take it home.
Santa Claus is coming to town. 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 Santa Claus is coming to town.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Cliff and Kendall will be here next time. Keep the emails coming in and be sure to subscribe. And for more sass, visit cliffandkendall.com. Merry Christmas, everyone.